if it were invested at 7%. So let's do the math without any pencil or paper. So we have something known as the Rule of 72, which some of you may be familiar with, which is that, you know, if I have a 7% interest rate, I can take 72 divided by 7. It's approximately 10, which says that in 10 years, at a 7% interest rate, the money would double. Okay? So basically, if in 1626 they sold for $24, in 1636 they would have $48, in 1646 they'd have $96, and so on. It'd keep doubling every 10 years. So basically, if you take a 100-year period, you get 2 to the power of 10. 2 to the power of 10 is a good number to know. It's 1024. And let's throw away the 24 because that makes the math a little harder. So we have 1,000. So in 100 years, whatever they got increases 1,000 times. So if in 1626 they got 24, in 1724 they have 24,000. Okay? And in 1823 or whatever, they have, or 1825, they have 24 million. And by 1925, they have 24 billion. And 2025, which is 9 years from now, they have 24 trillion, right? Now, we are about 10 years away from the 24 trillion, and 10 years is the double. So today they would have about 12 trillion, right? So we did the math without a calculator, which is great. Well done, Monish. Okay? And the thing is, you can do the math yourself also without. And the important thing with compounding is to have the fluency to do it in your head, because it's very important to be able to do this in your head because it has huge impacts. So $24 in 1626, 7% compounded, is today 12 trillion. So what is the value of undeveloped, so let's say Manhattan today, the land of Manhattan, if it had no buildings on it, and or let's put it this way, if I were to go and offer to buy everything in Manhattan, and then I subtract the cost of the buildings, which is the land value because of undeveloped land, would the land be at 12 trillion, right? And the answer to that also is very simple. So the entire wealth of the planet, every man, woman, and child, everything they own, is 300 trillion. The entire wealth of the United States is 80 trillion. It is very unlikely that something like 15% of that 80 trillion is just Manhattan land. And in fact, I think Warren calculated that, I think he calculated in the 1960 or something, it was 12 and a half or 12 billion or something. Actually, it was less than 12 billion, something at 10 billion. So you might get to a few hundred billion maybe in value on a good day. So the Indians basically sold Manhattan at a rate where if they had held today, they had held that land till today, and they did the deal today, they would have basically lost several trillion in value by not doing the deal. Now, of course, the trust officer of the Minuit Indians was an idiot in terms of investing, and he didn't get them to 12 trillion. But that's a different story. We'll get to that later. So how do we get $24 to become 12 trillion, right? So let's break that apart. Let's break that apart. There are two factors that lead to the 12 trillion. The first factor is the length of time. Okay? Length of time is a very important variable in how much your money grows. And the second factor is the rate at which it grows, right? And what we found is that even at a not a very high rate, 7% is actually below what the S&P has done, you get some astounding results. Now, recently, I don't know whether you saw in the news, there was some older gentleman who passed away somewhere in the Northeast. He was a librarian, you know, just middle-class librarian all his life. And when he passed away, he gave the college where he worked $4 million. And everyone was surprised that this guy who was very much a, middle class, ordinary guy had actually got $4 million saved up. And of course, these journalists who wrote the article don't know how to do math, and they didn't attend the lecture that we're just having. So they didn't understand kind of how things work with get to 4 million. So let's take a situation. Okay, so let's say there's an 18-year-old. And let's say this 18-year-old has very few skills and he can only get a minimum wage job, right? And so he's making, something like $15,000 per year, working 2,000 hours or so. And let's say, for example, he's able to save something like 10%, maybe hard, but let's say he's living at home, et cetera, saves 10% of that $15,000 before taxes because he can put it in an IRA or something. And so his actual kind of after-tax income might decline by 1,000 if he's working someplace where there's an employer match. Some of you students will get employer matches and such in retirement accounts, so you might have to save less to get more. So if this person is 18 years old, saves $1,500, and let's say he keeps putting the $1,500 every year into a retirement account. And let's say, for example, that he gets something like a 7% return on that money. And let's say that his income goes up very modestly. Like his income is only going up by 2% a year. And when it goes up by 2% a year, his savings go up by 2% a year. So instead of saving $1,500 next year, he saves $1,530. So it goes up very slowly. And when he retires 50 years from now, which is at the age of 68, he is at that point, 50 years later, making less than $50,000 a year. Didn't have any significant growth in income, just barely kept up with inflation and such. What would that person have at the age of 68? Well, let me make it easy for you. The first year when he saves the 1500, he's got 50 years. We know it's 7%. We know it doubles every 10 years. We know it's 2 to the power of 5. We know 2 to the power of 5 is 32. And we know what 1500 times 32 is. So he's got 48,000, right? So the first 18, what he saves at 18 at the age of 68 is 48,000. Age of 19, maybe somewhere similar to that, but you get the point as you go on. The end result, just to make it simpler for you, is a little over $1 million. Okay? So the librarian is not making 15,000. He's got a white-collar job. He's probably making somewhere less than 100 and maybe more than 40 or 50,000, somewhere in that range. And he paid attention when they were talking about compounding in math class, and if he makes four times what the guy with the minimum wage makes without doing anything esoteric, he ends up with a very significant net worth. So the question is, why doesn't everyone end up wealthy when we retire? Because there's not much required to become wealthy. You just have to follow a certain game plan, and you'll be there. And in fact, at the age of 68, the guy who's making less than 50,000, he could start withdrawing 50,000 or more per year from that account, and it would outlast the rest of his life, because he'd have a 5% withdrawal rate, and he's got a 7% earnings rate. So the money would actually keep growing. He'd probably end up making a $4 million donation to another school or something. So compounding is a very important element to understand. And again, what matters is it makes a huge difference if that person starts at the age of 18 versus 28. Huge difference. And my younger daughter, last year, she interned at a place, and she got paid like close to $5,000 during the internship, and she had no expenses and such, so the money was just sitting there. So I said, you can open an IRA and So I got her to open an IRA. And then I said, you know, if you trust me, you can give me power of attorney and I can invest the money for you. And one time she was flying back from New York. She was very tired. And I just told her, you know, that $5,000 you gave me at the age of 18, I put it into one stock, you know, because, you know, we can take some risk because you're just 18, you don't need the money. And probably that stock doubles or triples in the next 2-3 years because my best stock pick. And so I said, you know, let's say it doesn't even double or triple. Let's say it, you know, goes at 15% a year or something. So 15%, rule of 72, every 5 years things double, right? And I ran the math for her. And I said, what does the 5,000 become at the age of 68, right? So you got 50 years to the power of 10. So you got 10 doubles, you got 1,000. You get to 1,000 times the 5,000, which is 5 million. So I said, Momachi, you know, you worked one summer, and at the age of 68, you'll have 5 million from the summer work. But then the next summer, you're going to work again, and that'll become 5 million at the age of 69. And at some point, you're going to graduate, and you might make more than 5,000 in a year, and you might actually save a few $1,000s. And I said, what's your net worth at the age of 68? And I gave her some number, and it was like 2 in the morning, I picked her from the airport, and she was asleep, and she was wide awake. You know, so how did that happen? You know, and what's going on? Like, you know, very, very, very focused. And so the thing is, it's the two pieces. The length of the runway is really important, right? So 50 years, number of doubles. It's all about the number of doubles. This is how Buffett thinks about it. How long does it take things to double? So if you ask Warren Buffett, Mr. Buffett, I'm the genie from Aladdin. You can have any wish you want. What would you like, you know? So you know what he would say? He says, I only want one wish, which is that when I'm dead and they look at me, they say, man, he was old, okay? So he just wants to not die for as long as possible. And it's not like he loves all of us on planet Earth is why he doesn't want to die. He wants to compound. And he wants to keep compounding for as long as he can. And I think in his case, he's 86. And he started his compounding journey at the age of 11. And he actually understood compounding, I think, age of 9 or 10. And I think at 24 or something, he told his wife that we are going to be wealthy beyond our dreams. We're going to have more money than we won't know what to do with it. And so we got a plan for, like, you know, what are we going to do with all this extra cash? And his wife thought, you know, this guy is, you know, I want to buy a house. We don't have money to buy a house. He thinks we're going to get super wealthy. What's going on? And of course they did. So compounding is a very important element, no matter what your profession or calling in life ends up being. It's very important to have the fluency in math. Very important to understand the concept of a runway and the length, time it takes to double, and compounding rate. And don't take the retirement account or 401k or IRA, pull out the money and go on vacation. You know, the time value destruction of that is huge. So that's the second model. And very quickly, the third model is... is that the key like Professor Brown mentioned, the key to, I would say a lot of the things related to developing your full potential or reaching some of your goals may be related to being an entrepreneur, you know, at some point being able to kind of do things on your own and that sort of thing. And of course, one of the difficulties that comes up in being an entrepreneur is that most of us don't have any resources. You know, we don't have a rich uncle. I just told you, put the money away into this account, don't pull it out, and so we don't have anything to really go out and create things. So how do we get a business off the ground? And it's important to know kind of how to get a business off the ground. And I used this model when I was trying to get my first business off the ground. So there are 168 hours in a week, 24 times 7. And if you go to work for some company, typically they expect you at least 40 hours a week. You might have another 5 or 7 hours or so in commute time and so on, maybe 50 hours a week. There's still 118 hours left in the week. And in fact, if you take out time for eating and sleeping and other things, you will find that there's clearly at least another 40 hours available to you, which can be used in a number of different ways. And when you're thinking of starting your entrepreneurial journey, one simple thing you can do is, so one of the biggest things I tell people is when you're going to start a business, do not quit your job. That is the dumbest thing you can do. Someone is paying your rent. Someone is paying for the groceries. Someone is paying for those dinner dates. Keep it going. Don't turn off the faucet, right? But what you do is you start working on your startup on the second 40 hours. So you have you have weekends, you have evenings, you have mornings before you go to work, you have all kinds of time. Do that. And at some point, when the business is, getting some traction, where you think you can see the light and you've got revenue and cash flow and all of that, then you can go and hand in your resignation. And so I was, I think, 24 years old when I had an idea for my first business. And I didn't have any money, so I was basically just working on my business on evenings and weekends. But one of the things I decided is I used to always get great performance reviews. I was doing a good job. I said, I no longer care about performance reviews. That's irrelevant to me. So I said, what is my objective? My objective is, and I hope my staff is not listening to this, but my objective is to work just enough so I don't get fired. Okay? Be just slightly above firing level. Like, I don't need to really burn the midnight oil. I don't need to kind of go way overboard. I just need to make sure that they feel he's not so bad. We want to get rid of him, but he's not a star, right? And so, I did this. It took 11 months from the time I started working on business till the time I was ready to hand in my resignation. We had clients and projects and all that, so I was ready to hand. So I went to my boss. And I told him, hey, I have this business, and it was not competitive with what they were doing, and it's working now, and I'm going to resign. And so I had a meeting with my boss and his boss, and they said, you know, Monish, for 11 months we were wondering what happened to you. like we said, there's this guy with a great star doing something. We couldn't figure out, like, what was going on. And I said, yeah, my idea was to be just above firing level, right? He said, exactly. We discussed, should we get rid of you? And we said, no, he's not so bad, So I said, exactly. I calibrated it just above the level that you would get rid of me. And of course they were of course very supportive, and I was very honorable. I had to give 2 weeks' notice. I wanted to leave in 2 weeks, but I told them, listen, I'll stay as long as you want me to. And they said, can you stay a month to do transitions? I said, no problem. So we did that. And actually, the thing is, I left that company in 1991. I started Pabrai Funds in 1999. And I think in 2001, both my boss and his boss, they became investors in Pabrai Funds. And it was 10 years after I had left the company. Of course, I stayed in touch with them. But that is part of the, goes back to the first model, which is the trust model, right? That you have to. And of course, even when I was leaving, I was very honest with them about, hey, yeah, is exactly right. I was a useless worker, but slightly above, meeting slightly above your firing criteria and such. So that's the third thing, which is that, I tell this to my daughters that if you ever decide to go into business for yourself, you can do this, second 40-hour thing 5 times, and you can fail 5 times, and that's perfectly fine. Because I had tried 2 or 3 times before when I was 24, nothing ever got traction, but there was no downside. I still had my job. I maybe had spent $3,000 or $4,000. We shut whatever we were doing down, and then a few months later, there was another idea. And eventually, one idea had traction and went from there. So the idea is that you find people, like Warren says, like you like, admire, and trust. You figure out ideas that you think make sense. You can obviously work on them. And it's a high probability that if you keep doing that a few times, one of those will hit. And there's no risk because most things that young people will do today is technology-related, IT-related, app-related, iPhone-related, etc. None of these things need capital. You know, it used to be in previous businesses you need a lot of capital. A lot of businesses you can start today don't take capital. They take what's between your ears. So that's the third model, is that use the 168 hours and then take it from there. So that's really the three thoughts I wanted to share with you, and I hope I didn't go too far over. So thank you very much. Yeah.